listening to the Sports Rehab Experts Podcast. We sit down with some of the most highly regarded experts in the field of rehab, from physical therapists, athletic trainers, and much more. We dive into what makes them tick and hear about the lessons they have learned along their journey. Come listen to what these experts have to say. And welcome inside to another episode of the Sports Rehab Experts Podcast. Today, we have the staff physical therapist for the Indianapolis Colts. We have Mackenzie Scoville. Mackenzie, welcome on in.
Thanks for having me, Chase.
All right, Mackenzie, why don't you give a little bit of background about who you are, where you came from, and how you got involved in sports physical therapy in the first place?
Yeah, so my current role, as you said, is a staff physical therapist for the Indianapolis Colts. But where I started was I grew up in a suburb north of Dallas called Lewisville, Texas. I grew up there, went to high school there at Lewisville High School, and played sports throughout growing up. So started soccer at age 4 and then played all the sports growing up and then got recruited to play at SMU. So I played all 4 years Division I soccer at SMU, where I did my undergrad and got my undergrad in applied physiology. I kind of always knew I wanted to go in the medical field. And through my time with sports and some of the avenues that we had at SMU, I kind of finited the way down the physical therapist avenue. But right after college, I actually took a year off because I wanted to pursue my soccer career a little bit. So I went and played professionally overseas in Iceland. And then I came back and got into UT Southwestern Medical Center for PT school, where I did my undergrad and gained a lot of experience, got a lot of great mentors there, especially through my clinical rotations. And then following graduation, I got a job in an outpatient sports orthopedic clinic and worked there for about 2 years out in Flower Mound, Highland Village, Texas. Kind of brought me a little bit back home, which is like the town over. Worked there for 2 years and just really wanted to kind of get back into sports full time. It was a great population. We saw a lot of sports patients, but I really wanted the on-field and the completely immersion of sports. So I applied to sports residencies and got into the Memorial Hermann Sports Residency down in Houston. So I went there for a year. And after doing that in 2018, I was able to get a seasonal intern position with the Indianapolis Colts. So I was working year by year, and I did that for 2 years until they were opening a position for a physical therapist on staff. And then that's kind of how I transitioned into my current role as the staff physical therapist.
Gotcha. And so you said that, you know, your transition from working outpatient into you getting to a residency, you know, you just wanted to have more of a hands-on involved role in sports full time. What about Memorial, Ironman, Hermann, made you want to go there? We've had quite a few graduates from that program. So kind of tell us what drew you to that program in particular.
Yeah. So interesting enough, I actually started an online orthopedic residency, within my first 2 years of graduating, and that wasn't what I wanted necessarily. And I learned a lot through doing that. And I think it took a lot to kind of step away and say, this isn't what I want. I want to go sports route. And so I gained a lot of information on what to ask when interviewing for these residencies and what to look for. And so main things that I was looking for was, do we have one-on-one mentorship? Is it block time? Do I get on-field exposure in the training room, during practice, during game day situations? And big thing for me was, do I get fall football? That was one of the big things for me. And so every residency is different, and every residency has pros and cons. And I think for me, it was knowing that those were the things I wanted. And so asking the hard questions during my interview was crucial for me to kind of assess what my top goals were. And then if I got accepted into those programs, then I kind of knew that was a perfect fit.
Gotcha. And what are some things that you learned during your residency? Like, I know it's a whole year long immersion, but what are some things that you learned that you kind of took on your journey and now working in professional football?
Yeah, so just the long hours and kind of working through time management. That's kind of a drink from the fire hose in residency where you're just trying to figure it out and get through it day to day. That really preps you for working on a team because you're working long hours. There's a lot of unexpected things that come up. There's a lot of dynamics. And you're really having to sort through all that in residency, whether you're working with the high school or the colleges or your clinic directors or all of those things kind of meshing together that really prepped me for kind of working on the team. And then having exposure and asking a lot of questions to the athletic trainers at multiple levels in high school and college really helped me kind of work cohesively and efficiently and in a good dynamic with the athletic trainers, which is something that is crucial when you have to work with a team.
Gotcha. And that actually kind of leads me to my next question. A few weeks back, you were on a talk for the AASPT about, you know, communicating and building a relationship with team physicians and like in college and pro sports. So kind of tell us a little bit more about, you know, current your role or doing that with, you know, at your residency and then kind of now with the Colts, being able to communicate with the team docs.
Yeah, my residency gave me a lot of good skills in that because when we had time in the training room at college, we got pulled in with the team docs. Every single athlete that went into the doc's office for a follow-up visit or an eval, we were able to go in there and build that relationship. And a lot of our docs overlapped with our high school coverage as well, so we got to build those relationships. And it really kind of just overlapped and got the communication and how they would treat this or why they chose this surgery over that or why do they brace and not brace and things like that. You start to ask those questions. So then when I got to my role currently, there's obviously I'm kind of coming in lower on the totem pole, which is fine. And so you have very snippets of exposure and moments to talk to the docs and team physicians. And so it's just asking questions, learning from them, understanding why they choose things, and then understanding what their expectations are for the athletes that they're working with is especially crucial in our orthopedic athletes. And then I work actually very closely with our gen med doc who is also on that call. And I'm one of the two people that also head up the concussion side of it. So also having a very dynamic and interpersonal relationship with our gen med doc when treating our concussion athletes has also been a learning curve and a really good environment to kind of keep progressing.
Awesome. So you said you started off as a seasonal intern and then now you're full-time staff PT. So kind of tell us about those first few years and that kind of that learning curve of jumping from, you know, working as a resident to now working full-time or, you know, working full-time for a professional football team.
Yeah, so that was my first big exposure to completely immersing myself in the athletic training room. We get snippets here and there as a resident. But then when I got this position, you're 100% full-time in the training room. And so you're kind of drinking from a fire hose again. You really have to learn how to take your PT hat off and get your hands dirty and do everything that the training room has and not just be a PT. I think that sometimes the shortcomings is that we're like, I'm a PT, I need to do the PT things. And really when you're in that environment, you're a team and everybody has to do it all. And so you have to learn how to tape. You need to learn how to brace. You need to learn how to pack trunks. You need to learn how to set up a field and what are the emergency protocols and who's in what role when an emergency goes on. And that's something you can't learn in a textbook. It's something you have to get immersed into. It's something that you have to pick the brains of your colleagues and be vulnerable with them and let them learn just as much as they're going to be learning from you in the rehab aspect. So that's one thing. I think I had a mentor who gave me a big advice and he's my boss. And he was just like, don't be afraid to take your PT hat off and put other hats on when necessary, because you don't lose your PT, but you gain so much more by learning what everybody else does.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's something unique to, you know, professional football where you might not, that you obviously don't get that in the clinic or in the textbook. So that's great advice. So now that you've been with the Colts for a couple of years, working with these, you know, professional athletes, how do you kind of create that athlete buy-in? You know, because some of these people have been in the league for multiple years and have dealt with trainers from, you know, the time they were in high school all the way to college. And so they kind of know, you know, who to trust and who not to trust. So how do you kind of create that buy-in when you're dealing with a long-term rehab and you're going to be dealing with their future health for months on end?
Yeah. So I think when you first get in the training, you just kind of have to feel out the room and just start to gain the trust of everybody. And that's with doing simple tasks like a HIVA mat and just getting to know the athlete. And then as things develop, and obviously if those athletes get injured, you already have that rapport with them. And then also being on the same page with everybody in the training room. They're going to ask questions. They're going to probably double check your work because they're at a professional level. They want the best care, and we hope to provide them the best care. And so being on the same page with everybody in the room just enhances what you're saying to that athlete. And then listening to the athlete. They know their bodies so well at this level. And being open and honest with them when they need it goes a very long way. Sometimes we're a little afraid to say certain things or tell them certain things, but I think just being honest with them gets a lot of buy-in, and then pushing them. They will push the boundaries and they're going to push you to be better. And sometimes it's like, holy cow, let's slow down. And other times it's like, wow, that actually worked out. And I just learned that we can push this faster than what I would have. So learning from them and then learning from your colleagues on how to kind of appropriately push and pull is crucial with them.
Gotcha. And so what are some challenges that are unique to professional football, right? When during your residency, you were exposed to all types of sports, but what's something that's unique to like football athletes and some challenges that you might encounter?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily unique to football, I guess, but definitely the high-paced environment. You never know what you're going to get in during the treatment session in the morning. And it's a high-contact sport, so you're going to get certain injuries that you're not always exposed to in other sports and learning from that way. But one of the biggest things I think for me learning and growing in the professional football realm is all the dynamics of professional athletes and when it comes to all of the intricacies that make the club run. And that's whether it's a player having to go to IR and understanding the IR rules and understanding the line of communication. And when an athlete goes down, how do we get all that information delivered appropriately and efficiently and effectively, and understanding the intricacies of on-field progressions and taking an athlete from the clinic that you typically see, right, in the training room and getting them on field to transition them back into practice. And understanding all of those things, you get that in every sport, but it's a little bit different in each sport. And so learning that in each sport is a fun and challenging environment.
Gotcha. And so I kind of want to touch on one of the points you made about, you know, discussing returning an athlete back and with other people. So obviously there's lots of stakeholders. There's the medical team, then there's like the front office, and then there's the agents and players and families. So how do you kind of communicate all of that and make sure that, you know, the medical staff who's kind of in charge of this portion of the athlete, making sure that the information is correctly and concisely dispersed to all of the appropriate parties?
So I think the first thing is the communication within our room. We always have daily medical meetings and weekly medical meetings. The daily ones involve our staff. The weekly ones involve our physicians and management. And so making sure we have those on a daily basis helps everybody stay on the same page. So when you're out at practice and a coach comes up to you, you are all speaking the same language, because the last thing you want to do is say something and then somebody else is saying something different and now we have a miscommunication occurring. So the first thing is just communication within your own room helps with delivering the communication across the board. And it's also knowing your role and knowing when it's your time to speak and when it's your time not to speak, and when to say, you know what, that's a great question, but I'm going to let you go ahead and go talk to our director of sports medicine, who will give you the best picture. And I can ask him for you to come on over, or of those things. And then there's times where I will deliver that information because I'm working closely with that rehab player, and I will let the coach or the GM or the assistant GM know how they're doing. So it's kind of an ebb and flow, and kind of knowing your role, knowing when it's an appropriate time to speak and when it's an appropriate time to pass the buck and give it to someone who's higher up than you are.
Right, right. And so another question, kind of going back to your last answer is, kind of working on those on-field progressions. So obviously these people are trying to get back to running as fast as they can, jumping as fast as they can, you know, stopping 300-pound men that are trying to tackle them. So kind of how do you bridge that gap between, you know, the clinic and the going back onto field full contact? Kind of what are some of the clinical pearls that you've learned working with the Colts for a couple of years now?
Yeah, so obviously right when you start with an injury, it's more low level. It's more rehab based, but as they start to progress in strength and function, you have to start incorporating all different dynamics. So from the get-go, we start to talk with our dietitian on staff, and she starts to work with them, whether they're post-surgery or pre-surgery and things like that, on what to eat, especially now that their level of fitness is going to be very different for the time being. So we get them involved. We will also, as we start to gain strength and need to get them back transitioned to the weight room, we start to collaborate with our strength and conditioning. They're still injured. They're not clear from a functions standpoint. So we still run it, but we have to collaborate with them, understand what their goals are for the weights. They create the weight card. We'll have open communication on if we want to modify something, but it's something that we do cohesively with them so that we can transition them back to the weight room quickly, but efficiently. And within a safe manner. And then when we start to get to that return to play phase and we're out on the field, we get with our sports science. So whether it's like a hamstring strain where we're needing to know high speed yardage, high metabolic demand, what was their mile per hour that day, we will get with them and we use sports science to kind of collect that data. And we lean on him to kind of tell us, okay, do we need to do back-to-back? Was this a heavy day? Was this a light day? Should we do extra conditioning at the end? And we kind of collaborate with them while we're still leading that. And then at times when we get to that very end stage, we'll have conversations where they're with their position coach, where we have to understand what are they doing in individual period. Can he come up with some individual period drills that we will run them through in addition to the stuff that we do on the field so that we can prep them as best as we can for the time that we clear them to start going back into limited practice. So it's really a collaborative effort and having a relationship and a communication line with all of the departments, whether it's a small or however large of a communication that needs to happen, having those relationships is critical in that return phase until they get cleared.
Yeah, that was an awesome answer. I mean, you walked through literally every department that could be involved on a sports medicine team. So that gives like a great, very, brief picture of kind of what's involved in working someone back appropriately. So kind of a more broad question for you, what is a good sports PT or a good sports clinician in general to you? You've been around, through your residency, through your time in school and, time working with the Colts, you've been around great clinicians. So what are some things that stand out, some characteristics that stand out to you when you see them in other people?
Yeah, I think first is you have to be humble but confident. I think confidence goes a long way, especially when dealing with athletes. They want to know that they're getting the best and that you know what you're doing. But you also have to be humble, which kind of transition is into my next aspect, is that you have to understand your weaknesses and be okay with learning from them and making those weaknesses into a strength rather than trying to hide those weaknesses. Because when you're working in sports, your weaknesses are going to come out. So you either have to learn to make them better or you're just going to kind of get exposed. And so I think it's embracing your weaknesses and not being afraid to learn and take continuing education. Look something up when you don't know the answer, because there are times where I get hit with a question and I don't necessarily know the answer, but I need to go look it up and I'm going to get back with the correct answer. So there's all of those aspects. And then I think lastly, I think you have to have an ebb and flow and you have to know when to push and pull or compromise with the athlete. without losing your foundation for what you had planned that day. You're going to have rough days and you're going to have great days, and the athlete's going to have the same. And so it's figuring out how to push each individual athlete because they respond to injuries so differently. But in our environment, sometimes we can get so tunneled focused on getting better, but having a fun environment and bringing the fun can kind of usually help with every rehab session that you have. And then collaboration is also key because you're going to see something and you're going to get stuck, and then bringing another eyes in is going to always help the situation to kind of say, hey, take a look at this because I am plateauing right now, or they're plateauing and I need a little bit of help. So don't be afraid to collaborate. Be confident with humility, and always be willing to learn.
Gotcha. Kind of going back to one of your points about, knowing how to respond or how to, respond to different athletes when their rehab is going differently than you might have thought. For an athlete that their rehab might not be going quite as well, like you had this grand plan, all of a sudden something took a left turn for whatever reason. How do you respond to that as a clinician? And then how do you kind of guide the athlete? Like, let's say it's going not the way you want it to, and the athlete is responding poorly. They may not be engaged in rehab. How do you kind of get them back on track to get them to where they need to be?
I think you just have to acknowledge that it's not where it was supposed to be. The athlete knows it, you know it. Something went awry, and there's so many different ways stuff can be challenging in a rehab. We all know rehab is not a linear progression. And so you're going to have the lows, and I think acknowledging when that low is occurring and what are things that we can do better to help prevent that low next time. And then letting the athlete have a time to be frustrated. It's okay to be frustrated. If you have something happen, I'm like, you know what? That sucks. Yeah, take the day. It sucks. It's frustrating. But tomorrow, let's come back and we're gonna be better and let's take a new light on it. And usually, just giving the time to be frustrated or be mad usually helps a ton within coming back and kind of getting a new mindset or a fresh restart for the next day.
Awesome. And so we talked about, or you talked about how like the long hours and you never know what you're going to get in professional sports at the beginning of this talk. So why is high level sports as fulfilling to you? Because there's lots of things that can go wrong and your day's never thought as you thought it was going to go, but what makes it so fulfilling to you?
Oh yeah, there's so many things that are not always what you think it is in professional sports. But I think for most anybody in physical therapy, when you get to work with an athlete from start to finish, or you get to see them go back out onto the field, that's one of the most rewarding things we can ever experience or watch. And we get really proud of them and for ourselves. And it's just a really cool moment that you can't really reproduce, outside of that. And then I grew up in sports. Sports is kind of what made me who I am. And so I always thrive in that environment and always want that environment. And one of the best things is game day. Yes, there are losses and those stink, but when you have a win, there's nothing that beats a win. There's nothing that beats the environment in pregame when you're getting pumped up for the game. You see the athletes in the locker room or in the tunnel before they're running out and it's getting hype, or you're out on the sideline and it's a night game and the lights are on, or you're in the stadium and all the lights go off and the flashlights go up. There's just no other environment that can replicate it, and it's just something that's you're always drawn to. I don't think, like, as an athlete myself, I never can fully get rid of that. And so this environment allows me to work in that and then see the successes of other athletes that overcome injury. I just can't get that anywhere else.
Gotcha. I think that's a great answer. So now that you're in the off season, everything's a little bit different. You're still doing things, but it's a lot different than when the season picks back up. So kind of give us a day in the life of what it's like to be, in season, practice day or a game day, whatever you choose.
Yeah, so in season, we don't really have an off day for us in the training room. So Monday, let's start with Sunday. So Sunday's obviously game day. Big day. It's always the fun day. It's always the climax of the week. And then we have Monday, which is typically either an off day or it's a lower level meeting day and walkthrough day with the players, depending on the year and depending on the schedule. So Monday and Tuesday are usually lighter. One of those days is a player off day, but the players who are injured or got some bumps and bruises that picked up in the game will come in and do some treatment those days. So they're not fully off for us, but they are a shorter day. And then when we do start to get into practice, which is usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the players will come in, they'll treat in the morning. So we'll get there early. Our day roughly starts around 6:30. They'll come in, they'll treat for about 2 to 2.5 hours. They'll go to meetings. In the season, we will have a specific time for those long-term rehabs to come in. So we give the players who are playing their time to get treatment, and then we give those players rehabbing their times. So during meetings, we typically have our injured players that are out for the whole season come in to get specialized treatment at that time. And then after meetings, we start to get pre-practice. So guys will have routines with everybody in the training room at different times, and we get them scheduled, and it's about an hour and a half of getting everybody prepped, taped, mobed, kind of ready for practice. Then we go out, work practice. That usually lasts between an hour to an hour and 45 minutes any given day, depending on the day. And then we do post-practice treatments. On Thursdays is our big medical day, to where we kind of assess any of the bubble injuries that are occurring to kind of see if we're going to be ready for Sunday or not. And so our doctors will come in, and they will take a look, and then the players will go to meetings. Then they'll come back, treat afterwards, and then we sit down with a medical meeting to discuss those guys, both within our room and then up with management, so that everybody has a clear picture and expectation for all the players that are on those injury reports. And then that kind of covers kind of Wednesday through Friday. Friday's a lighter day. We get out earlier, just to kind of start to taper down the week. Saturday will come in. The mornings are usually the same. The afternoon is usually a walkthrough, where the guys are kind of doing a mock game. And then post-mock game, we get out of there. So that's our lightest day, when it comes to doing actual activity on the field. And we'll either travel that afternoon to our away game, or we'll get the rest of the afternoon off in prep for Sunday's game. As a staff member, we kind of rotate the home hotel. So there are Saturday nights that you get off, and there's our Saturday nights that you're working the home hotel. It just kind of alternates. And then Sunday, we're back to the game day. So that's kind of a whole quick snapshot of our week, down and dirty.
Gotcha. And so, do you have a favorite memory of working with the Colts so far, in your past 3 or 4 years?
Ooh, good question. There are definitely quite a few. Surprisingly, I think one of my all-time favorite memories is actually in one of my intern years, and it was my first travel game with the Colts. And we actually traveled to Kansas City to play a night game, which that stadium and those fans get very loud. And there's a moment where I'm the only one out on the field pregame because everybody's in the locker room getting ready. And the lights turn off, and they start the tomahawk, and there's parachute guys coming down, and I was just like, wow, this is pretty cool. This is awesome. That's one of my favorite just memories of working professional football. And then the day-to-day treatment times, and conversations and rehab times are truly just fun. It's a good environment. It's an upbeat environment. A lot of people deal with a lot of bad stuff, and if you're in our room, that most likely means you're injured. So there's a lot of people dealing with a lot of different things, but we try to keep our room as upbeat as we can. And it really is at the heartbeat. And so people who aren't injured will come walk through and just have conversations. And so the culture is fun and collaborative, and it's just a really dynamic sport. But those times in the training room are, you can't get them anywhere else.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer. I love your memory of, you know, the stadium, but then, you know, those little in between moments are also, you know, really great. So last question before we get you out of here, Mackenzie, do you have any advice for anybody that wants to, you know, is an aspiring sports PT, you know, if they're an undergrad, if they're in PT school, you know, if they're an early career professional, you know, somebody that wants to be in something like your position, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, so it takes a long time. Sometimes it's not always a perfect road. I think in order to get to where you want to be, always say yes to an opportunity that is presenting itself to you that will take you a step to that direction, no matter how uncomfortable it feels or out of your comfort zone you feel like you'll go. Always say yes to an opportunity or to a networking opportunity, or to just go say hi to somebody that works in your future position, right? So I tell everybody is just to say yes to opportunities and don't be afraid to reach out. There's plenty of people in my position. We all have emails that are accessible on the internet, and reach out, ask questions, see if you can't shadow them. Those are always missed opportunities when people are too afraid to do that. And so more times than not, we will get back to you. It may take a few days and we're in season to get back, but we will always usually respond. And sometimes we get people to come shadow, or they just want a conversation of how did we get here? And we will make time to kind of have those conversations. So those are the two biggest things for anyone trying to get to a position is always say yes to opportunities, network, and reach out to us.
All right. Well, Mackenzie, you said this is your first podcast, but I think you did awesome, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. Is there anything that you'd like to plug before we get you out of here?
No, but another good resource is I work with the sports section a ton in the APTA. They have mentorship opportunities. They have great networking. That's a lot of where I got a lot of my mentors from. So if people aren't involved in that sports section, I would highly encourage people who want to work in sports to kind of get involved, because in that sports section, it's not just professional athletics, it's college athletics, it's research, it's all different avenues that you can do in sports section. So there's a lot of great people in that environment. And so that would be a great way to kind of also connect.
All right, perfect. I will definitely link that below in the episode bio. All right, Mackenzie. Well, I will let you enjoy the rest of your day in the off season. And with that being said, this has been the latest episode of the Sports Rehab Experts podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Mackenzie Scoville of the Indianapolis Colts for coming on and telling us about her journey in the latest episode of the Sports Rehab Experts podcast. If you liked what you heard or want to hear more episodes from great future guests, please like and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you're listening.